If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
It's the man with the megawatt smile, the newest Ottawa Red Blacks linebacker, AJ Allen, signed with the team officially in CFL free agency. AJ, I'll just ask you off the jump, how does it feel to be wearing red and black and playing football in the nation's capital?
Man, it's exciting. I'm excited for the new opportunity. I'm excited to be a red black. I'm excited to win games and bring excitement and everything that AJ brings to that organization, which is everything, man. I'm going to give him my all. And I'm just super excited, man. What an opportunity to be great, to chase greatness, and to bring Ottawa to a winning culture.
Can you take us through the negotiation window in your personal free agent process in terms of the decision-making, the teams that showed interest in you, and then ultimately choosing Ottawa?
Sure. It started with, if you ask anybody, after the Grey Cup, obviously you're on a high, and everybody wanted to return. You talked to a lot of guys that left this offseason, and, you know, they would have told you they all wanted to return. And I'm one of them. I love Rider Nation. They gave me my first opportunity. They gave me a lot more opportunities after that. The community has showed so much love. The ownership, the coaches, the sponsors, everybody over there showed so much love to me throughout my whole career. So I wanted to return. I didn't. If you asked me in January, at the start of January, December, November, I would have told you I was going back. But yeah, this is the first time I've been in free agency. And, the business side of this game can dilute those emotions real quickly. I had a few conversations with JL and the writers, mostly the first week of January. And maybe one conversation the second week, like that Monday or Tuesday of the second week of January. And after that, me and my dog Fred, we didn't hear much after that. Didn't hear, much in terms of, wanting to be back and wanting me to be back and maybe we can find some common ground. I didn't hear much from that. So, I think about realistically. And, you know, I took some time to fully grasp that I'm not going to be back. I might not be back. It's tough to wrap my head around. I wanted to. It was definitely difficult. And took some time to really understand that the business side of this game can dilute and digress you from, you know, what you thought was going to happen. So, yeah, it took some time. And, you know, got out those emotions of, you know, frustration, anger, disappointment, confusion. And, you know, once I got over those things, I was able to start to look forward, you know. It's an opportunity for something new. It's an opportunity to grow. I'm going to miss a lot of people over there. I'm going to miss a lot of people. I'm not going to name names because it's going to be a lot of names, but I'm going to miss a lot of people over there. A lot of people over there did really right by me, and they will be not even considered acquaintances, but friends for life, and people that I truly appreciate their smiles, their charisma, their personality, the way they came into work every day, whether we were losing or whether we were winning, those were great people. And that is important. Then came the actual tampering period. I was supposed to have a call with Calgary at 12 o'clock, but a coach had a conflict, so they rescheduled. So they changed it from 12 to 1:30. And what happened was Sean Burke slid right in. 12 o'clock came. He called me round the dot, you know, showed a lot of love, said he, you know, appreciates me as a player, but also as a leader, as a person. He's from Guelph, so he's also able to talk to my university coaches and people around there and get a good grasp of who I am without knowing who I am. And he submitted his offer damn near right away. 12:01, he submitted an offer, which is, again, that is insane to me because the two things I wanted to do was feel wanted and go where they love football. Leave it to Fred to talk about the numbers, because that's not what I do. And that's what Fred is not only passionate about, but extremely good at. I'm not the numbers guy. I'm here to play football and play football at a high level. Fred is there to do exactly what he did for me. And I won't be able to thank him enough. Thank you, Fred. Appreciate you being down. So yeah, Ottawa calls me. Sean Burke calls me at 12, submits an offer right away. RD calls me at like 12:10, 12:15, whenever the call with Berkey ended, like 5 minutes later, RD calls me, Ryan Dinwiddie. And again, expresses, you know, what he thinks of me as a player, which is cool. But again, he's heard great things of me as a person and kind of shares his vision for what he's looking for and how, you know, the Ottawa Redblacks get back to winning more football games. And it was something I could follow, something I could get behind. And then afterwards, that was probably a 10-minute conversation. So 12:35 comes around. Coach Fields calls me. And again, felt so wanted. All three of the major people that I would want to talk to anyway by joining an organization called me before the hour was up. So I think that was really huge for me and respectful-wise, because time is money and time is important. And yeah, it was great. It was important. All three were good conversations, and I truly did enjoy them. Then, as the day goes on, 1:30 comes around. I have a call with Calgary. I thought it was pretty productive. I thought it was good. And I mean, it was definitely interesting at times, but I respect everybody over there. I liked the conversations we had. And yeah, I thought it went better than it did, because after the conversation, they did not submit an offer. So that much I was pretty confused about, whether it was, I don't know, whether that was some sort of price limitations or they didn't know me or want me as a person. I'll never know. I got no clue. I don't know what happened after that interview, for things to switch so quickly from, you know, sending in players and, you know, sending a guy like Kreef and a guy like Flo to message me and call me and, you know, express interest and show love, to you know, we got nothing for you. So I don't really know what happened there, but cards fell as they may. And I then had later on had a call with Hamilton, but it became apparent that they were, you know, waiting and waiting and waiting after talking to Coach Scott and Brent Munson. You know, they both respected me as a player and appreciated me as a player and as a person. But, you know, I felt like I was in the conversation. I felt like I was a plan B. You know, it felt like they were. Obviously, they can't say it and all that stuff. But, you know, I have Fred and he knows everything the same way you guys know everything. Like my deal got leaked to maybe 20 minutes after I signed it, which is insane. But Fred knew what was going on. And he was like, I think they're trying to get McManus, which they did. But at that point, I felt like a plan B. And that wasn't my thing. I wanted to go where I was wanted. I wasn't necessarily wanted over there. So, after I had a conversation with all three teams, I did not have a conversation with Edmonton. I mean, when you pay Scoop that much, you know what I'm saying? Congratulations, Scoop, my dog. When you pay Scoop that much, ain't no room left. That's how business is going. And that's okay. I'm super proud of him. I'm super happy for him, man. That's my dog right there. But yeah, did not have a conversation with Edmonton. And the final, I guess, important piece for me going on through this process was I wanted to make a good decision. And in order to do that, I have to have all the information. So after talking to all three teams, you know, I sat down with Fred, not sat down. I got on a phone call with Fred and you know, talked to my girlfriend and just talked to myself as well. And just being like, one team 100% wanted me more than all the other ones. One team to me loved football and was passionate about it more than all the other ones. And I mean, my decision was made for me in a sense.
Sounds like it. And that's some awesome detail that you provided us with. I want to go back to your emotions, AJ, because usually you're an upbeat, energetic guy. But I think sometimes fans during free agency see all-star names and just want them to be signed. But there's so much more behind it. And you sort of alluded to it. So I kind of want to double click on that and dive a little deeper to the fact that you wanted to be back in Saskatchewan and you went through a range of emotions to get yourself to a point where you were comfortable changing teams. Can you take us through that process behind the scenes that not a lot of fans, I think, even really consider that you guys are human beings too?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. Again, I'm a pretty humble dude. I've never wanted to be the highest paid. That's never been a goal for me. I love football, right? I'm here for the love of the game, and it is important to have good people around you, which is again why a great person like Fred is here to do exactly what he's done for me and my family and my future. And I will be forever in debt. But yeah, I have built so much love and relationships over there. There have been a lot of people over there that have been with me since we were 6 and 12, since I was a kid drafted from Guelph. I was a fat kid too. That's why I got sent back. I was fat. There's a lot of people over there that were there ever since me from when I was basically a child. I didn't know what was going on. Saskatchewan holds a very close and dear part in my heart. And that's a kid coming from Burlington, you know, from Toronto, the big city. I made Regina home. I enjoyed living there. I enjoyed being around those people, the community. I took every community event I could have because I just loved being around the people over there. You know, love driving up and down Albert Street. I love going to the restaurants and talking to the owners and going to a new restaurant with my linebackers every day. I loved the coaches over there. and all of them. I've been through, you know, two coaching changes over there from Dickinson to Mace. I got love for everybody because a lot of people over there, whether that be Dickie or whether that be Mace, had a very huge impact and made decisions that were able to benefit me as a football player, as a person. That doesn't weigh small. Right? Those guys were there and helped build me as a foundation to create a better AJ for tomorrow, to help me become a better football player, but also a better person, a better boyfriend, a better son, a brother. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be great in everything I do, and Saskatchewan and everybody over there has helped me do that. Whether that be, I could sit here and name names forever, but whether that be football ops and administration, trainers and physicians, equipment staff, community leaders and advisors, director of communications, GMs, assistant GM, everybody over there made a choice at one point to pick AJ Allen. And for me, it hurt at one point when the business came in and that choice couldn't be AJ Allen anymore. I am a human. I didn't leave to be the highest paid. I left because I felt like I was no longer wanted. That's a tough thing to grasp, you know? It's disappointing that sometimes business can go this way. It's disappointing and it's frustrating and aggravating at times. A lot of people would also use the word disrespectful. That's not me. I wouldn't use the word disrespectful. I think business is a word I would use instead, because sometimes business can be ugly. That's the reality of it. As a GM, at least my general grasp of it, I don't know nothing about it, but I would assume you want to try and get the best players you can for the cheapest price. I would assume that you try to do that, right? Obviously, you have a set limit you cannot go above, and however you see fit to use that money is why that organization hired you. So, business sometimes can be dirty and ugly, and that's also the reality of the situation. But yeah, those were definitely some of my emotions going through the whole process.
How did you get over the hurt that you said that you felt?
I think being able to just remind myself that it is business, it is not personal. He's not doing this. I'm speaking like it's, you know, he did himself. He's the only one major. I have no idea what, you know, happens in that room. They did not do this to me. I think that's the big mental part of getting over it. They did not do this to me. They made a business decision that was what he thought was the best for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders organization. And I can't fault nobody for that. You're doing what you think is best. That is what every man, every person should do. That's your decision. You gonna stand on it. That's it. I gotta respect it. That's life. You know, not every decision. There's no reason that every single decision they make should be in my best interest if I am not in their best interest. So I think perspective is what helped me get over that kind of hurt and pain of taking myself out of the, damn, he's doing this to me, to in reality, he's not. He's doing what he thinks is best for him and his family. They are doing what's best for them and their family. And by family, I mean the, you know, Saskatchewan Rough Riders organization.
How does it feel to be a Grey Cup champion and then go sign with the team that was last place in the Canadian Football League in the same year and try to be part of a turnaround?
What an opportunity. I am excited. It is, you know, you go from the high. The one thing with the CFL is the turnover is always insane. Who was the worst team last year was not the worst team this year. Who was the worst team this year will not be the same as the worst team last year. I promise you that much. But it's a matter of I'm cool with the opportunity. I love the opportunity. Always been a passionate football team and a passionate football environment. It's a great city, and they have new life with this coaching staff with Sean Burke there, and I'm excited to be a part of that turnaround. I love challenges. This is a new one. What an opportunity to be great, to grow as a football player, to grow as a leader, to grow as a person. I'm super excited, man. I truly am. I can't wait for me to roll around and to show everybody what we got going on and to prove myself right. I seen some things on the internet, and you know, I just can't wait to prove myself right. That's all. I seen some, system guy. You are who you're around, which is obviously true, right? You obviously who, whether I work in an accounting firm or on the football field, obviously you are who you're around. How does that make sense? But you see me play, you see me play football for the past 4 years, not just one. And you can sit there and say, I'm a system guy. You know, I got some prescription for you. You're not seeing the things that you're supposed to be seeing, and that's okay. I tried my very best not to prove people wrong, because I'm going to live a very long and unhappy life if I keep living like that and keep reading those comments and actually put value to them, or weight. All I'm trying to do is prove myself right, and I think this is an amazing opportunity to do so with some amazing people around me.
I did see, honestly, some of the same stuff, AJ, some people saying that last year was a one-off for you, that it could potentially be a fluke season and you never produce to that level again. But if you look at your career, and I think people should even go back to the University of Guelph and perhaps to your days playing for the Burlington Stampeders with one Nathan Rourke, but from my perspective, seeing you play with the Griffins, starting your CFL career to where you are now, and I think a legitimate all-star candidate last year, as you kindly let us know at Grey Cup, which we definitely appreciate.
Someone got to do it, Justin. Someone got to do it.
Hey, you got to keep us straight, man, whether it's the fans, the players, the GMs, the coaches. We need to hear it as well. So we definitely appreciate it. It was fun back and forth. But if you look at just even your CFL career, right, as you said, you developed. You didn't really know what you were getting into in that first year. You called yourself fat. A lot of players wouldn't like that word being used about them, but you went and put in the work to the point where you were, I believe, tied for the special teams lead in special teams tackles. And then the next year, become an all-star level linebacker. Like, from my perspective, I think there's untapped potential to reach here, because you've only had that one season as a starter. So how do you start stacking those together to continue to build on the foundation that you've laid for yourself in this league?
Every year I've been playing football at this level, at my university level, I have been able to improve. I think I'm pretty critical of myself and how I perform. And I think ever since my second or third year at the University of Guelph, I have been able to take personality, take all that stuff out of it and think of things logically and critically, to be able to dissect my game by watching film, by understanding my body and how I feel, by using those personal analytics to dissect where I need to improve at. And then I also have the discipline, the self-driven motivation, and the work ethic to work on those things. Every year I've played football since the second or third year at University of Guelph, I've been able to do that. And by being able to do that, I've improved. Every single year, you look at the numbers. If you're a numbers guy, you can see it. It's there. If you're not a numbers guy, which is what real football players are not, if you look at the impact that I'm able to have. Every year I have played since that second or third year at University of Guelph, I've had a bigger impact and a bigger impact and a bigger impact. I have only improved in life for the last like 8-9 years. I've done it. And I'm going to continue to do it. I don't know why people keep putting limitations on me. I will not accept your limitations upon what I think I could do. I've been able to do that because I've been critical, I've been real, and I've worked on it. What I think I need to work on is what I work on solely. That's it. I'm about this action. I am addicted to this shit. I am. I will not stop until I feel like I have proved myself enough. I have more in the tank, like you said earlier. I'm not where I need to be yet. I had a decent first year, right? I got hurt. I was understanding concepts. You know, things were happening fast, but I was getting better. In my second year, I finished with 19 special teams tackles. I was top 5. That's not bad for year 2. And I could have done more. I missed a lot of plays. I missed a lot of tackles. I also started to see what certain coverages look like if you're a guy getting 19 tackles in a season, right? You get double teamed, you get different trap blocks, you get different things like that. I haven't seen a lot of those things before. So, but the time the end of the season came, I think for the last, there was like 3 games in a row where I didn't even get one because I was getting new coverages I had never seen before. I didn't know how to find the answer yet. I digress. We go into the year where I tied the lead. By the way, Adam O'Clair, I would have had it. You fought for one. I would have had it. I would have had 23. But, you know, that's my dog, too. But we go into that year where dominant, right? I truly tied the league in special teams tackles, true. But if you look at the impact I was able to have, you ask Coach Clint. Coach Kent and all my teammates over there, the impact I was able to have beyond 22 special teams tackles, I improved. I became that dog. Whoever you need me to block, I will block him. He will have zeros on the stat board. He will be doing cardio all day. It's just conditioning for him. If you need him out the game, send me. I'm the problem solver. That was my mentality every week going into special teams. I wasn't even looking to start. That was my role. I understood that. So I did what was necessary in the offseason. I did what was necessary in the season to not only physically, but mentally adapt to this is what I'm supposed to be good at. I'm going to be the best. Then we go to last year. I had a different mentality of I got an opportunity here. You know, I had a conversation with Coach Mason offseason and before resigning and all that stuff. I got an opportunity here to do more and be more, which again, every year I've done that. And unfortunately, my dog CJ Avery tore his bicep with like 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So I got my chance. Now that game was tiring as hell. We were playing Ottawa, right? And that was a good game to be in. But at that time, we as a team weren't necessarily prepared to replace me on everything else I was doing. I'm still a special teams dog over there. I still had that role. So I was still on all 4 specials. Sorry, 5. I'm on field goal too. So that's, you know, you say the big 4, I'm on field goal. So that's the big 5. So I'm still doing all 5 of those specials while still playing every single snap on defense. So that game was a testament to, you know, just trying to be ready and stay ready. But after that, I had an opportunity to play, right? I played versus Hamilton, 4 tackles and the game-saving PBU to end it. And ever since then, every single week I improved. Every single week I improved. I've never cared about tackles. I've always wanted to make impact plays, whether that be a sack, a TFL, an interception, a forced fumble. Every single game, for the most part, I was able to do that. For 18 games, I'm critical of myself. I'm determined. I'm addicted. I have great work ethic, and these are the things that are going to continue. As long as I'm alive and as long as I'm freaking breathing, I see no reason to stop. And that is exactly what the Red Blacks are getting from me, which is why they called me at 12 o'clock, which is why they want me over there. It's an opportunity to do more of that. And regardless of what scheme I'm in, I'm a nerd. I love football. I will learn football. And I know how to play this game at a high level. One thing about me is, like, in this process of free agency, you know, people talk about fit, right? Where do you fit? Does this scheme fit with you? That don't matter to me. I'm going to fit. It don't matter to me. I play linebacker at a high level. I know how to communicate. I see the game at a different pace, and I'm going to fit. I'm going to be successful because I love this game and I'm going to put in the time. But that's what I have to say on that. Sorry for my rant.
No, it's great, man. The energy and passion is making me wish that we were teammates at the University of Guelph, but I'm just a little bit older than you. And I think, you know, some people need to look. Yeah, we'll say one or two just for the people out there. But I think some people need to look, AJ, at the other side instead of this, you know, junk stuff we see on social media. You're 27 years old, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
In the prime of your career, with that arrow pointing almost directly up, coming off a career best season with your best years in front of you as a legitimate ratio changer in the league. And that's why I can understand why Ottawa would make you the highest paid linebacker in the CFL's salary cap era, not just in the CFL for the 2026 season. It's in the CFL salary cap era. $240,000 in 2026 is what AJ Allen has earned. And I think they're going to even get more than that value. So I want to go, again, a little bit behind the scenes. You talked about making Regina your home. As a professional athlete, I think some fans looked at you and thought, okay, he's an Ontario guy. He probably wants to go back to Ontario. I know that that wasn't the case, but how do you transition your life from Regina, Burlington in the offseason, to feeling comfortable in Ottawa off the field so you can perform at an all-star level on the field?
I think that's just going to be being around. Being around the people, the city, getting to know what's around, getting to know you know, the city. I think it's important because, I mean, in Saskatchewan, a big part of my, you know, connection to the place was me and the LBs for as long as I can remember. Starts with Larry Dean over there. Shout out LD. You know, this whole journey started with Larry being my mentor, and you know, what an elite person to learn from. Because he's going to be a Hall of Famer in my books. And the thing I always said in practice, because he always did some crazy stuff. The thing I always said in practice is I'm trying to get like Larry without Larry reps. Larry deserves every rep in practice. Larry deserves every rep in a game, right? It was not my time if I'm playing behind Larry damn Dean. But I'm trying to get like Larry without Larry reps. And shout out Larry. But another thing Larry did as a leader was he was like, as a group, as a position group, we're going to go out to a restaurant every week and just show love and break bread with each other. I think that's something that helped us connect to not only each other, but the city. We were able to try out different restaurants, talk to different people. Just even explore the city, go out to parts past the stadium, go out to different corners, different corners in different cities, different parts of the city, and just connect to it. Know what's going on. And I think that'll be important and something I want to bring to Ottawa is, you know, that ability to break bread with your friends and your teammates and also learn the city. A lot of people want to show love to us. You know, we're Red Blacks and a lot of people in that community and a lot of partners in that community love the team. Right. So it's going to be a matter of, you know, getting out there, seeing what's going on, being myself, talking to these people and building a connection with the community that I want to be a part of. So I think that's going to be the biggest part of you know, connecting to where I'm going. Going outside, being around, right? Be not only just being an Ottawa Red Black, but being an Ottawa resident. You know, I wanna, it's the nation's capital, for crying out loud. Why would I not wanna go outside and explore it and learn from the people that live there?
Did you know anyone, AJ, in Ottawa or with the Red Blacks more specifically prior to signing with the team?
Yes. I knew, I've known a few people and I know of a lot of people. I mean, again, I'm a nerd. I've had to study, you know, their special teams unit and their offensive unit. So, what do I got? I know James Peters. James Peters was a OUI All-Star. He was right behind me in the stand-up defensive player of the year votings. He's a good linebacker at the University of Ottawa. And then we've been cool ever since, man. I love Canadian football. I love the CFL, and I love seeing Canadians thrive. And his time is coming. I think he's going to be good. So I knew James Peters. First one I knew was Amari. Amari's my dog. He was actually my roommate in my first year when I was fat. And we were roommates with me, him, B. Cole, who's also in there now, and Kosi Onyeka. Those were my three roommates in my first year of training camp. And now I'm back with two of them. So pretty insane if you ask me. I know of Zach Pelios, Daniel Adam Baboye. Who else over there? Obviously you got all the writers guys going over. Reeve, my dog, Haba, Jay Mayer. And I've gotten to know a few of these guys so far, you know, by messaging. Like I've talked to Greg Bell a little bit, Niles a little bit. I know Zach Filion, my dog Zach, because he was with us on the Riders. He was there for a ton of those LB dinners. We got a ton of good stories. My dog Zach. Lucas Cornier, because he started a few games and again I keep up. I watch damn near every game. So you know, he's over the ball. Oh, Alonzo, I met Alonzo 2 years ago at a networking event. For people trying to get ahead in life and after football, at Chris Osikusi's Switch Mentalities event. So I met Alonzo Ida over there. Who else? CJ Colden. I played with CJ Colden in Saskatchewan as well. So can't wait to get back in contact with him. And, you know, I think he's a good football player.
That's quite a list, man.
Yeah, that's off the top of my head. I'm sure I know a few more.
How much were you in CJ Rivas's ear after you had agreed to terms to get him to the nation's capital with you? Because you mentioned it, there's four former Rough Riders over there, but you were the first.
Yeah, I was talking to a decent amount. I can't lie to you. But it helped that again, Berkey laid some of the groundwork and foundation over there with, making Reeve feel wanted and appreciated in a sense, to some degree. But, afterwards, yeah, I was definitely messaging them and put on my GM hat, trying to get people right. I haven't tried a few more, but you know, business comes into play and that's the part I don't know. I'm sure Berkey was pretty annoyed with me. I was like, hey, we should, what about this guy over here? What about that guy over here? And I thought he'd tell me to, you know, screw off. But no, he was actually, we were building a good connection. He's like, no, I can't do it because of this reason and that reason. Like, oh, I didn't even know these were things. So, I talked to Reeve a ton. And Haba, though, I actually kind of left Haba alone because I thought that would... He likes to make his own decisions. So I'm happy he made the good one. I'm happy. I am. I'm happy he made the good one. But, you know, you got to know your peoples. And, that was a good one. So, yeah, I talked to Reeve a decent amount trying to get him to kind of put on my GM hat and try to, you know, feel like I'm building a team.
You said you were hurt and had emotions to get over after not being re-signed in Saskatchewan. What do you think it was like for CJ Rivas, who plays at an all CFL level at the strong side linebacker position? Some injuries happen. He's a team guy, and Jeremy O'Day talked about this, slides back to safety, which allows Antoine Brooks Jr. to go to that strong side linebacker spot. And he plays well enough for the Riders to say, hey, he's got one more year on his rookie deal. We're trying to re-sign a bunch of guys on this championship team. we probably have to make a decision just based on that. How do you think Revis went through perhaps similar emotions to you? And did you discuss how he felt about it?
Yeah. Revis is a little bit different than me. I can't speak on, you know, fully his emotions and stuff like that, but I can't speak on, we definitely connected and bonded about, you know, we were disappointed with how free agency started. I think some people, like I said earlier, some people will use that disrespect word. I think Revis would be one of those people. Again, I can't speak on anybody, but I can completely understand how people could take this aspect of it and see it as disrespect, because Revis is another one of those guys that put everything he's had into Rider football, right? They gave him an opportunity and he took it and ran right back with it. He went to a ton of community events. He's part of the reason we were able to win a great cup, but also he's a huge part of our culture shift from 6-12 to 9-8-1 to 12-6. He's a huge reason for that. A leader in the locker room, a leader outside of the locker room. So I think I can completely understand why he would be the same as me, frustrated, disappointed, angry. And I can see why he would feel disrespected by the decision to the business decision to move on and to take, you know, go a different direction. I can sympathize and empathize with it for sure.
How would you analyze Habakkuk Baldonado as a player? I think he's a little bit of an enigma because we haven't heard a lot about him. He did start 5 games last year, and it was clear that Corey Mace felt like he was a player because he was moving him all around the defense just like he did with Malik Kearney. And I think he's a guy that's been under the radar in terms of his production with a lot of upside, sort of like you going into the 2025 CFL season before you were tied for 5th in the CFL in tackles.
Yeah, I think Hopper's got so much potential, and it's exciting. So I think with defensive linemen, it's you can't really look at the starts because in the CFL, at least, they rotate so often. So there's really no reason to look at the starts, and they don't even care. They're just trying to play. They get reps, but I think it's one thing. I think it's important not to look at the starts for defensive linemen. But I think it's important to see that Haba was able to rotate in and know 2 positions. Right, he knows the rush end, and he also knew the quick in Coach Mace's scheme, which is not easy to learn. Right, he was he would be a guy that you could start at the, you know, the field side defensive end. And if Scoop needed a breather, you could switch him in for the quick or the boundary side defensive end and put someone else at rush, depending on the game plan and scheme or whoever, you know, you see fit to put there. But I think that potential to know, be a football player is huge. I think Haba can pass rush at a high level and a high clip. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, when he's in the game, he's making plays, making quarterbacks uncomfortable, getting quarterback pressures, getting sacks. So I think that's huge. I think Haba can play the run. I think when he really wants to, he can be dominant. If you go to the film and look at his game versus Edmonton off the top of my head, incredible. Truly an X factor on how we dissected the game and affected it. So there's so much potential in how Haba will be able to flourish into one of the CFL's well-known names, if people can pronounce it, and be dominant on a football field. So I'm excited to see what that potential in you know, Haba for this year looks like.
Are you talking about the Edmonton game in Regina last year against Cody Fajardo?
No, I'm talking about we lost it this time. The Edmonton game in Edmonton. Go back and watch that one and see how dominant Haba was. He was all over the place, making impact plays. That's the one where our fumble got that's the one where the fumble. Yeah, you know the one. You know the one. And it changed it changed everything and all that stuff. And we had a bunch of injuries as well, but There's no reason to talk about that. Play football, who's out there? But that was the game that happened. And we lost due to some, you know, decisions. But go back and watch that game. Haba made a ton of plays and really showed what he's learned and what his potential is.
You talked about getting your opportunity to play defense because CJ Avery was hurt in that opening game against Ottawa. And to me, that's a great example of how close and thin the margins can be in professional football. Like the Red Blacks almost came back and beat you guys in that game. And then obviously the season took a different turn for them in the way it happened. And you guys go on to win the Grey Cup. So when you're looking at Ottawa making your free agent decision, can you understand that there is that talent there that it just needs to be affected or changed in some of those small margins, for the Red Blacks to be a contender again?
I can. Football, especially games like that, are gains of momentum. It's I don't even know how to describe it. That feeling in the game where all of a sudden a lot of people, it doesn't have to be a lot of people, that feeling in a game where two or three people get really confident. They don't buckle. They don't blink. They feel that shift of, it's my time to do something cool. It's my time to do something crazy. And it changes everything. That game of momentum is the slight thing that you're talking about. It's that small shift of emotion, confidence, preparation, attitude, personality. It's why you get dogs on your team, on defense, on offense. That's why. So I think that small game momentum can be the difference between winning football games and losing football games. And in the CFL, I don't care who you are, winning any football game is not easy. It is always a tough task, no matter how many you win. So, I could sense it, right? It's a good football team. They got talent here, obviously. It's just a matter of that next step. I've been on teams where we're 6-12, right? I was on two of them. And with the Riders, I've also been on a team that was 9-8-1 and that started 5-1. We lost six straight; it would have been seven straight, but guess who we tied? Ottawa. That's also a controversial one. Don't get me started. don't get me started. But at the stat sheet, it was a tie, and that was a game to the end. Even this year, we played them. Again, right there, it was another game to the end where we forced three turnovers, but we still didn't decisively win that game. We had a pick six. They almost had a fumble. Like every time we've played them, it's been good football. They fight. They have grit. They have determination. It's never easy. It's just a matter of those small margins of error. Maybe something a coaching staff can bring in, a coaching change, you know, like RD can bring in. Maybe it's something a player like me can bring in. But those small shifts are everything in winning and losing football games. And that is something the Riders were able to do. We had a lot of dogs over there that understood that shift, that felt that shift, that had that intuition. It's not, no one had to tell them to do it. No one told Tommy to make that play. You know, he wanted to. He was in an opportunity to. Coach called his number. He got excited, and he made the play. He made the catch, and we went. You know, the same way, no one told me, you know, that second and three versus BC, what was going on. We had an idea. Me and Thurm got on the same page, and we felt it, right? We heard the play call. It was like, bro, I think it's time. Like, you know, it's not something that has to be discussed. It's just something you feel. You got to have this. Some people got that it factor. You got to have it or you don't. And I think a lot of people over there have it. It's just a matter of learning how to bring it out.
When you think about feelings, AJ, I think about this photo that our Three Down Nation photographer captured of you in the locker room after you've won the Grey Cup. You're just sitting at a locker, seemingly taking in the celebration. What were those feelings like in a winning locker room after you've just hoisted the Grey Cup?
It was so many. But I've been asked that question a bunch these days. This is the answer I've been given because I really think it's true. And it's me. I have made so many decisions, virtually every decision I've made since I was a kid, to become a professional football player and a champion. And it's blissful that every decision I've made, all the sacrifices, everything that I sat down and determined, this is what I need to do to be great, to be a champion, I'm willing to do these things. It's blissful to know that every single one was worth it. It's peaceful to know that I made the right choices. I'm not like a lot of times, like at least in this game, it can be measured, right? Those decisions on if you made the right one, if you made the wrong one, physically, statistically, and with the end goal can be measured. And for us, it's measured by a championship. And we were able to do that. And it's incredible. We were the best. He has me. We were the best linebackers. Now, this one, you don't ask me. This one's true. On the best defense, on the best team in the CFL. And that's a testament to everybody over there that made every decision they have ever made for a long time. So it's blissful to know that the decisions I made were worth it. They worked out. I made the right ones. And it's something to be proud of.
You earned your day with the Grey Cup and chose to take it to the University of Guelph. Simple question. Why?
I took a lot of places that day, man. But I'll start with Guelph because that was your question. It is important to me to show love to my communities. It is important to me to show love to the people that showed love to you. This is a small thing I could do for the University of Guelph of showing them and showing those kids over there and the next AJ Allen and anybody else in my position that wants to be in my position. This is what's possible. I was in the chairs you were. I was actually in the other chairs because you got the new pavilion. I started in the old one. So it is important to me to show love to those kids over there, those coaches over there, people that I still know, people that I don't know. It is important to me to be around and show I still care. Show I still am grateful for everything they've done for me, ever done for me, and will do for me. Not only for me, but grateful for the legacy you helped me build here. And the stories you have with me, the connection you have with me, and how you impact other people with it. How my story is helping you become a better coach and a better person. I am grateful for the opportunity to do that. And this is a small thing for me to be able to, you know, I get the cup from one day. I would love to show love to you guys as you showed love to me. And this is the best way I could do it. That day, I also took it to my high school, M.M. Robinson High School in Burlington. And I talked to my old high school coach, Mr. Marco Ferroni, and he helped me set up. We were up in the theater. And what I thought would be, you know, 40, 50 people, maybe some old teachers, 150 people plus showed up to show love to me. And I was sitting there, jaw dropped the whole time. It was so surreal, the impact that I've been able to have on my community. People I haven't seen in 10 years showed up. People I haven't seen, old basketball teammates, old soccer team, old track teammates, old teachers, old coaches, all showed up. Old principals all showed up because I was coming. They wanted to say hello. They wanted to say they're grateful to know me. I think one thing that was really surreal with that day is I'm a great football player, but nobody had a football story. everybody was talking about me as a person and how my smile makes them smile and how my attitude helps them sometimes. I think that's so much bigger than football. That's the impact I want to have on people. And it was surreal that the impact I had to all those people was genuine. They remember it 8 to 10 years later, 12 years later. It still makes them smile. That was so important to me. So I took it there as well. I took it to my boxing gym that I go to now. They were all so appreciative and happy. I took it to the car dealership that sold me my brand new, beautiful car that I got. Because I told them I would. I'm a man of my word. I don't break it. So they all showed a lot of love to me over there too. And I also took it to, I've been coaching with and helping coach with a group over here called LXK. And they are a group of three main dudes, Nathan, Adam, and Andrew. And they've been trying to create programming for that's affordable for kids of all ages up until high school to train, work, and get better at football because we didn't have a lot of that growing up. And I took it there as well because I thought, again, no better thing to do than to show love and show these kids what's possible. And again, they were all so grateful for. So that is what that's also what I did with the cup that day. And I'm grateful for every opportunity that I was able to have with it.
That's a busy day, man. Really busy.
Very busy. I barely ate. I was driving all day. Yeah, you know, it was long. It was. I didn't get home till like 9 o'clock, but it was worth it. You only get there one day with the cup anyway. You know what I'm saying? Why not? I sleep when I'm dead.
You might as well fill it up. I'm curious, AJ, how do you get your day with the cup? Like, how does that get figured out and finalized?
I started by talking to AZ over there. And she told me that it was going to be in Ontario for a certain amount of time. So I booked in my day. She said she let me know when, you know, what days were available, gave me the dates. I booked in my day. And then on Thursday, the 29th of January, I picked it up from TC, who had it at the Argo Stadium called? I picked it up at the Argo Stadium.
BMO Field?
I picked it up at BMO. I met him in the parking lot. I picked him up at BMO Field, and then started my day. And then I gave it back on Friday morning to the handler of the cup at around 11 a.m. and talked to him. He's actually a great dude. Shout out to that conversation, man. He was a great dude. I like talking to him. I hope I see him again. Dropped it off to him at 11, and that was my day.
And I just want to get it straight for the people out there. You said LKX, and that's in Burlington,
correct? LXK.
LXK.
LXK, yeah. They've created programs for anybody in any price range for, you know, whether you want private, personal, group. They host skill sessions on weekends. They're always available. They work hard. They're always in that weight room. They great guys over there, man. Huge shout out to them and what they're trying to accomplish over here.
Yeah, I got a lot of love for people putting on programming like that. So I wanted to make sure we got it correct. Is there an actual brand or company name? Like, what does the initial stand for?
I actually forget what it stands for, but I will let them know and send you a text. And get back to you, and maybe they can send you some more information about what they do and what they're trying to accomplish over there.
Yeah, it sounds like some great stuff for the kids. Always awesome, no matter if it's football or any other sport, to get out there and be active. AJ, it's been an energetic hour with you. Is there anything from any realm, genre, anything in the world that you want to leave us with?
Let's go Red Blacks, man. Let's do it. Turn me up. I can't wait.
With only the energy and passion that AJ Allen can bring, we really appreciate you sharing, like I said, a full hour with us some unique insight behind the scenes into your emotions, the decision-making process to go from Saskatchewan to Ottawa, the day with the cup, man, that was action-packed, and just showcasing your personality. I truly believe you're one of the rising stars in this league and someone that needs to be marketed by higher-ups and companies and corporations across our great country. So AJ, wishing you all the best in Ottawa, and we really do appreciate you sharing some time with us.
Thank you so much, man. It's an honor and a privilege to talk to you about anything, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy you do what you do, and I'm happy that you're choosing to do some of it with me, man.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.